CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're very pleased to be joined by Alan Tonelson, our manufacturing and trade guru through these many years of contretemps with the People's Republic of China. Most recently, the question of negotiating with China comes up in a conversation between the General Secretary and the President. But there is business that remains from January and February of 2020, before the pandemic, that hangs fire. Alan, a very good evening to you. I come to a news report in these last hours about a recommendation by a commission convened by Congress recommending that people not invest in China, not make free with money buying U.S.-listed Chinese stocks. And then this, I read, although rhetoric between Washington and Beijing has been tense, the bilateral trade imbalance is returning to levels last seen before the U.S. government imposed tariffs on Chinese imports in 2018. And U.S. capital flows to China are on the rise, the commission said in its report. Did we see this coming, that after the pandemic, after the wolf warrior, after the threats to the Biden administration in the early days, that we would return to business as usual, just as if the tariffs were not there? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Hi, Gordon. I think we could have foreseen a return of business as usual, or even more business than usual, when it comes to financial flows, because there's no question that even during the Trump administration, Wall Street's activities in China in terms of steering hundreds of billions of dollars of capital globally into the Chinese economy and making those dollars available to China's dictators was a major blind spot. There was very little done until the last year or so, and those actions were really pretty much of a patchwork nature. When it comes to the trade flows, though, I'd be a little cautious about concluding that we're back to the pre-Trump levels or even heading there real soon. First of all, we have to recognize that the U.S. economy has become an import sponge from the entire world lately, largely because of the stop-start nature of it that's been imposed by the virus and the shutdowns and the reopenings, which, by the way, happened more than once. What's really vital to keep in mind, though, is that even though the China import figures have been going up, they still haven't been going up, at least according to U.S. data, they still haven't been going up as fast as imports from the rest of the world, which makes very clear to me and should make clear to everybody that the Trump tariffs are still working and that decoupling continues, as it should.
Decoupling, and what it looks like right now, is this report saying no more, it's not trustworthy. Is there anything in your experience, Alan, that says that China's going to change its ways, its non-transparency, its heavy boot on the necks of private corporations, any change in the weather whatsoever ahead?
The only shift we've seen in Chinese policy has actually been a rather clever one, and it's come on that financial front. Precisely because China is so hungry for foreign capital, again, to continue to enrich its own economy, to therefore increase its both technological and related military potential, it's made it easier for big Wall Street banks to do business there. It's made it easier for big Wall Street banks to enjoy more of the profits from their China operations in making Chinese capital markets more efficient, in opening up new investment opportunities for Chinese investors than it ever had been before. So yes, China, and in fact, kind of ironically, has done what Washington has long requested that it do. But that doesn't mean that this Chinese change or these Washington requests have been in tune with U.S. national interests. Quite the contrary.
Gordon?
Alan, what you're saying basically, it sounds like the U.S. is the global engine of growth because we're just buying goods and services of others like crazy. And also, the U.S. is still critically important to China because they need the capital. Regardless of what they say, their capital markets are not able to develop on their own. And this is really surprising given China's strength. The fact that they still need U.S. money, even after all the cash they have, just tells me that something is really wrong inside the Chinese financial system. Your thoughts?
I think that's very right, Gordon. And in fact, you've been an absolute pioneer in pointing out recently, especially, that China faces major economic headwinds. Its real estate sector, which represents about a third of the entire economy, looks like a gigantic bubble that's in the process of at least deflating rather dramatically, if not bursting completely. And it still faces major energy shortages, which are especially important for China, given that manufacturing, which is, of course, very energy intensive, also represents a huge chunk not only of China's economy, but its export earnings.
About this panel that's recommending we are cautious of investing in China and especially careful about buying U.S.-listed Chinese stocks, I read it has some authority, Alan. Carolyn Bartholomew, a longtime senior aide to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, is chairwoman of the panel, whose members are appointed by the Democratic and Republican leaders of the House and Senate. Commissioners come from business, labor, academic, and political backgrounds. This suggests to me, Alan, that this has weight in Congress. Is Congress turning uniformly adversarial to China a factor going forward for the manufacturing and trade sector in this country and for the growth that is desired in China? Will this profoundly change the landscape?
John, those are really two separate questions. One, is this shift in Washington opinion regarding China real, or in official Washington's opinion of China? And there's no question that it has been real. There's a strong bipartisan consensus, or at least a stated strong bipartisan consensus, that something more effective has to be done to stem China's rise and the resulting threats to the U.S. economy and U.S. national security. However, really important to keep in mind that Congress in particular moves very, very slowly. And for example, there is a very important piece of legislation that's been stuck in the House of Representatives for literally months after relatively prompt Senate passage that would start getting America's Technology Innovation Act together and in particular provide very important incentives in the forms of subsidies and tax breaks to encourage more semiconductor production onshore. This would not be more important, and yet this bill has languished in the House for months. It's not perfect, but there still doesn't seem to be much prospect of action on this measure going forward before the end of this year, frankly.
Gordon, your measure, is Congress uniform in its understanding of China's threat, or are there other opinions that still weigh?
I think most people in Congress, especially you see this in the Senate, but I think most people in Congress do feel as Alan has said, but there is a small group of folks who really don't think of China as a threat. They're mostly in the Democratic Party, but they do form a minority. So a majority in the Democratic Party and certainly a majority in the Republican Party understand that China is an existential challenge to America.
We have a minute, Gordon, for a quick question for Alan.
Alan, what's the status of supply chain disruptions, especially on the West Coast?
They're frankly even worse than they were just when President Biden a few weeks ago announced a major initiative to unclog them. There are more ships anchored off the port of Los Angeles Long Beach than there ever have been. And that's not entirely President Biden's fault, but certainly the steps that he's announced so far to relieve this congestion and return the U.S. economy to some kind of normal relatively quickly have flopped.
Alan Tonelson, his blog is at Reality Check. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.